Clap your hands, 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 yeah, clap your hands. Hey, 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 yeah, 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 yeah. Hey, yeah, yeah, yeah. Hey, yeah, 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 yeah. I got a telephone in my bosom, and I can call him up from my heart. I got a telephone in my bosom, and I can call him up from my heart. When I need my brother, brother, when I need my father.
Check one, two. Anybody out there hear me? Hearing. Hello, checking, checking.
Can anybody hear us?
Checking, one, two. Attempting to start our video meeting. This is WBFYLP 100.9 FM in Belfast, Maine. We are attempting to get going.
Somebody unplug the line, man. Let's have a hot mic.
Have we got a hot mic?
Have we got a hot mic?
And we've got a number of our station personalities joining us here as soon as we can figure out what's going on. So let's say here we are at the top of the hour. This is WBFYLP Belfast, Maine, 100.9 on your FM dial, streaming on the web at belfastcommunityradio.org or WBFY.me. How about that one? That's the short form. We've made this a call-in program so that folks who had issues with the mistaken censorship of the Lost Discovery show last Wednesday have a chance to call in and air their grievances. And in general, we want to talk about artistic freedom. And we're looking for folks who have some experience in the broadcast industry, experience in the arts, and the sorts of things that they've been through in the restraints that society puts on us, and in particular in the broadcast industry, the Federal Communications Commission and their rules.
We'll be opening the phones in a few minutes at 338-2277. Right now we're trying to communicate with our online board people. Can any of you folks on the screen hear me? Charlie?
Yes, I can hear you.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
And now I hear you folks. Hello.
Who we got there? John?
Okay. Muted myself, yeah.
Hey there. There's Alan Crichton, head of Waterfall Arts.
And is that Matt from WERU?
Hey, Matt.
Yes, it is.
All right.
Hi.
Matt can hear us. And we also have one of our board members, Nancy Hinckley, aboard.
Say hi, Nancy.
Hello, everyone.
All right. Now we're in business.
This seems to be working. All right.
We have solved the technical problems. All right, Charlie, take it away.
Well, let's would like to get Matt, who is the experienced hand here as the general manager, Mr. Everything for WERU, many years in the business. Would love to know what you tell your programmers about what's allowed and the FCC regs to begin with.
Well, off the top of my head, I mean, we have a handbook that I think you folks have on too. In terms of the, seven dirty words, the FCC doesn't really care about, doesn't have a list, but it's anything that's sexual or excretory words, actions, or organs. I mean, to be graphic. That's one of the things in terms of the, profanity on the airwaves. And then we have a whole lot of things that we talk to people about, what's programming that's accessible and listener focused. But in terms of the FCC regulations, the profanity, particularly before 10 o'clock in the evening, can be a real problem, because a listener or listeners can take exception and complain to the FCC. Now, these things happen now and then, and it's not the end of the world. But if it's one, knowingly done, or two, a pattern, then that's a problem. And we would talk to a programmer and say, hey, please knock it off and let's move on. And that's, I think, you can think about the collaboration of what a show takes between listeners and volunteers and everyone, staff involved, if there are staff involved. And so it's a dialogue, really, about what's best for the listeners and what stays within FCC bounds.
Right. So on this particular incident, there were two things going on. One was problems with the FCC rules, and the second was a problem with me, who, when finding, and I'm Vic Treadwell, manager of WBFY, when the problem, I handled it wrong in every kind of way, and then I got mad at myself and the host of the show for handling it wrong, and basically let the thing get out of control myself personally until my head exploded. And I did an act of censorship on the air for the wrong reasons. There were right reasons to pull the show, but that had gone by an hour, and I had stewed instead and lashed out. And it was 100% inappropriate and against policy and against my agreement that I made and signed when I got airtime here on the station, and likewise the one that anybody else signs to. And yes, we do have a manual here, policies and procedures that people are expected to read, and and an agreement that they're expected to sign to follow those policies and procedures. But anyway, not to go down that little rabbit hole, I have apologized personally to the host involved and extend my apologies to all of the listeners who were rightly teed off at my jumping in and cutting off the show 20 minutes from its end and making rude comments about its content, which were not my place to make at all.
And I'm Charlie Crane, the president of the board of Belfast Community Radio. And let's be clear, too, that we operate as a community radio station licensed by the Federal Communications Commission. The license is actually held by the city of Belfast. We obtained this as a low-power FM license in December of 2017 and have
2016.
Been 2016, right at the end of the year, and have been operating. Vic's been a pillar of keeping things running here. Considering that he is the guy who gets this thing going 24/7, he gets a slip up maybe twice a year.
And I have slipped up, and spectacularly on this occasion. And again, I apologize to everybody for it. Can only wish that there was less... Well, never mind. I'd really love some more people to volunteer to step up and help me, because I'm trying to run this whole ship myself almost all the time. And the stress got to me.
I'd like to back up a bit here and ask these folks that we've got on Zoom to introduce yourselves and give us a little bit about your experience in the industry. Matt, you've already spoken. Would you introduce yourself again?
Yeah, I'm Matt Murphy. I'm the general manager of WERU Community Radio. And, that's who I am.
And you've been doing this for how many years?
I've been with WERU since 1993, and I've been the manager since 2001.
All right. Excellent. Nancy?
Hi, everyone. I'm Nancy Hinckley. I actually don't have a background in radio. I have a background in marketing and strategy. I did, however, work in a regulated industry. I worked in healthcare technology, so I am familiar with creative license, if you will, as far as medical devices relative to, obviously, the constraints that, that you have when you're building and delivering and supporting those things. So I am familiar with the regulated environment and also with, you know, what can happen when things go wrong in terms of public relations and, you know, in this case, I say customers, but in this case, listeners. And the listeners are extremely important to us. It's our lifeblood. We wouldn't be doing this without you. So this is a critical topic to talk about.
And we've got John Monroe over there, it looks like.
No, that's...
Al Creighton, sorry.
That's okay. Yeah, I'm Al Creighton. Founder of Waterfall Arts. We've been doing this water for 20 years now, since 2007. And so there's been a lot of things that have been public. It's not in the broadcast world. I'm not out of the broadcast world. I've always wanted to do something like that, but haven't. But we put on many different art exhibits, many things affecting the public and interacting with the public. And once in a while, there have been a couple of things that have been asked to be censored. We had a figure drawing exhibit of drawings. One time they were all over the building. They were nudes. And some people really objected to it. And sometimes if they were coming for a lesson, the teacher would put a little bit of paper over the drawings so that their customers wouldn't be offended. And we also had another situation where a Belfast problem had to do with the Bear Fest way back, and it had pretty much gone to bed, and then suddenly it was brought back to life by an artist who sort of brought it back up. It offended people. We didn't take it down because we felt like this was free expression, so we want that to be there. And so in that sense, I've been involved in publishing things that could be sensitive over 20 years. And I tried to stay away, Waterfall in general has tried to stay away from approving of censorship. So Vic, I really appreciate your apology. I acknowledge that it's very well said, and so happy that it's sincere and that you really mean it. It really means a lot to all of us. So we're kind of taken aback by that.
Thank you, Al. And I wrote Grant Corum, a more detailed one, which at some point will be published somewhere for the readers who are interested in the station. And we're also going to send a copy of it to everybody who sent in emails objecting to what I did. There were about a dozen of those. That's about all I can do, except then soldier on and try and keep the station running 24/7.
Alan, did you tell me that you did some pirate radio in Montville in the olden days?
No, we didn't do that. No.
And my old ears heard something funny there. Was it at the Bear Fest, like we were talking about black bears, or was this some sort of nudity thing streaking through town? Or?
I really don't want to go into it again because It's all been put to ask different people about it. I'll tell you about another time. Those people who really remember it would remember it. a bear was, we're not going to talk about it right now, but because it was just bring it all back up. But ask me anytime and ask lots of different people around time. Remember the Bear Fest thing? I also want to just say that we at Waterfall Arts, as sort of the mothership for BFY, we're really happy that BFY is there. We've committed a lot to BFY, and we're so happy that BFY has committed themselves to Waterfall. We don't want that to end. And so I also want to thank Vic for being the go-to guy, technically, who really keeps the technical side of it up and running. And I'm happy that you'll stay out of the artistic and aesthetic aspects of it. I appreciate that.
Thank you, Alan. I know you've got things you wanted to do with your family tonight, and we appreciate your taking the time to talk with us.
Sure. Yeah, I'm here at my granddaughter's house. She's 20 months old, and she's just so cute. So I have to go see her now.
Go dandle a baby on your knee.
No, if I possibly can. Okay, great. I've said what I can say, and I appreciate your doing this, Charlie and Vic, and appreciate my Matthew and Nancy being here. I hope other people do call in. Will this be put on an archive that can be seen later?
Not seen, but everything that goes out on this station is automatically recorded, and this being a live show, it will be up on our archives. People can listen to it without seeing any of your smiling faces as they now appear on our screen.
Okay. Well, thank you. It's good to see you all, and thank you both for letting this happen. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Al.
Thank you, Alan. And Matt, you've probably got other things that you need to be doing tonight. If you could...
No, I'm...
Well, I wonder
I'm
if you
good.
Would...
I'm happy to sit in and listen and help if I can.
Okay. Appreciate
hey,
that.
Charlie, I think we have another board member that may have joined. Is Carrie on to introduce herself?
Carrie, can you hear us?
Yes, I can hear you. I'm afraid I didn't look at my email until just a few minutes ago, so I do apologize for my tardiness.
No harm.
Hello?
Just introduce yourself, Carrie, just to say a few words. That would be great.
Okay. Hi, this is Carrie Bacon. I have no prior background in broadcasting, but am an ardent supporter and believer in community radio.
And a board member.
And a board member of WBFY.
And a major programmer with quite a few shows in the course of a week.
Well, yes, and I'm also a programmer, not to toot my own horn.
Do you have any difficulty keeping your shows within the bounds of the regulations?
For the most part, no. Occasionally, I will say that there may be a story that I might read on First American Story Hour that I have not myself previously read. And let's just say that on one of those stories, there was quite a bit of a freedom of expression of sexuality, which I felt was not acceptable or appropriate for the station, and canceled that story in the midst of it and tried to quickly get out of it in a genteel manner. And apart from that, occasionally in one of my blues songs, which Ratchet graciously provides me for my program, there might be a, shall I say, a blue word that is sung. But that seems to be a rarity.
Yeah, and that's the reason we have a thing here called the oops file that we write down when things come through accidentally in that way. But that's,
and that's why I contribute to it when needed.
Matt, sure. Do you have the same sort of thing at WERU?
Yes, we do. And, you know, the and I'm not going to say that WERU has this all figured out by any stretch of the imagination. It's definitely a process and a journey that we're still on, too. So, but we have an oops file. We also, when we're looking at if there's free expression is absolutely essential. And that sometimes competes with FCC regulations. And it's a dance that we have to figure out as we go along. But some things are just really obvious. And if it's somebody does something intentionally or repeatedly, that's a problem. If something happens occasionally and unintentionally, that's an oops. And that's how we kind of distinguish between the two. And, you know, it's hard to get around that the FCC has regulations for what happens on the airwaves.
Right, and those are old, long-established, 1930, revised 1950 something. They come from another world.
They may be archaic, but they're still there.
Yeah,
for better or worse.
Yes, and And many people's expectations have now been set by cyberspace, where such rules do not exist.
Right.
Looks like we've got incoming calls here.
Let's see if we can. All right.
W-E-L-5.
Charlie's going to answer that, and then if you push the green button.
Push the green button and say, hello, WBFY. Hello, hello.
Oh, lost me here.
Yeah.
There we go.
This is Lisa from Orland, Maine. How you doing?
Very well, thanks.
Good. Yeah, I just had a quick question, and I'm trying to remember which of your participants was discussing sexual content on the air. There was a comment made about sexual content on the air. This is a horrible delay.
That might have been Carrie.
Oh, yeah, that was one of our programmers, Carrie Bacon, about a story she was reading on the air and decided to cut away from when it became, in her judgment, too sexual.
Got it. Okay, so my question is, you know, if this is community radio and presumably we're not all children listening, right? We're adult listeners. So the community
it sounds like there's an agreement that mistakes were made, but there's also been a big learning experience, and I think that's not to be undervalued, that whether it's Vic, whether it's the programmer, whether it's board members, that it's a good. This isn't new under the sun. Lots of stations have had this happen lots of times over the years, and I think it's great that you're talking about it, and hopefully can see how great the station is and keep doing your thing without getting too hung up on FCC regulations. You've got to abide by them. But there's a whole lot of leeway that you can do great radio without getting a foul of FCC. But you have to be careful of that.
And I'm sorry, caller, I think we jumped in on you before you completed your question there. But I wanted to say, as you pointed out, we're all adults in the room. But the FCC defines their mission between the hours of 6 a.m. and 10 p.m. to protect children from something they might hear. And that's where
right.
we really get into the trouble. So go ahead with your question.
Yeah, my question, though, was, you know, in terms of sexual content, I mean, that's a really kind of hazy area. I mean, you know, sexuality in general is nothing to be ashamed of, correct? So we're just looking at a few select words that are off limits, I believe.
Well, yeah.
So I just think it's dangerous not to be very, very precise and finding out what's actually illicit. I would hate to censor out material on the basis of taste. Do you know what I mean? When there's a wide community of folks listening.
I think I know what you mean. And the FCC has some real explicit definitions of what they consider obscene. And one of those things is that you have to be appealing to the prurient interests of people. And if you're talking about sexuality in an adult fashion or in a medical fashion, anything like that, I don't think it would pass that test.
Or it would float that test, you mean?
Yeah, I think the courts would say this is not prurient.
Right, but we got two different things going on here. One, Carrie was telling a story about a sexual thing that where she self-censored while she was reading something on the radio. The particular incident in question had two other issues in it, one being that it was delivered with FCC rule violations having to do with just cuss words you're not allowed to say, having to do with the human body and excretion. And then there was a second issue of where I got mad about that and did some uncalled for censorship. Out of being angry, but that's there's two different things. The censorship was wrong, 100% wrong. Taking the show off the air for the FCC violations was, in my opinion, still the right thing to have done, but I took too late and got all emotionally tangled up about it and made a hash of it, a complete hash of it.
Okay, I'm going to have to hang up because there's such an echo, and I'm listening to a computer and a phone, and it's not matching up, so it's, I'll write in.
That'll scramble your brain.
Thanks so much for talking.
Thank you. What was your name?
Alisa from Orland.
Thank you, Alisa. Thanks for calling
in. Thank you.
All right, this is WBFYLP.
We're holding a little forum here, a little bit disorganized and having a few technical problems. Our people who were on Zoom could not hear the caller due to the way all the circuitry works here at the station.
One more thing to try to figure out here. How to get the audio back on the Zoom call. So that didn't happen, huh?
Yeah, we were texting about it.
Okay. And the caller was hearing an echo because she might have been listening on the stream if she was in Orland.
Yeah, she has to have been listening on the stream. It's one of those things where you've got to turn down.
She gets the big delay.
Yes, about 16 seconds. Our signal actually goes through the internet to a distributor in Florida and comes back to wherever it goes, however many stream listeners are listening.
One of the unfortunate things about that Wednesday night censorship incident was that it was one of the highest listenerships that we had. We were at 30 people listening on the stream. So we offended a bunch who immediately jumped on and made their feelings known.
Speaking of which, so do we want to end the Zoom part of this? Is there more to contribute?
Yes, it is.
We've got a call coming in, but they're not on the air yet.
Are you listening on the stream or on FM?
Nancy, well, Carrie, Matt, got anything more to throw in?
Keep listening, though.
Such a
I'll listen on the live stream, Vic. Thank you.
Would hear okay. The air that it was mind-boggling.
I reiterate what I said before.
We're going to,
it's growing pains, and I think you're all really working hard at this, and I think that's terrific.
What's your name?
And Vic, keep up the good work. Everybody else, keep up the good work, and learn from the growing pain stuff.
All right.
Thank you.
Thank you very much, Matt. And so I think we're just going to take it over to a dial-in show at this point. Thanks very much.
We got Rita
calling in from Belfast. Have we got you there, Rita?
Yes.
Excellent. What's your comment? First of all, what's your experience in the arts? Are you an artist yourself?
I am an artist. I'm an retired art educator. And yes. I am a big fan of WBFY. I mean, I just love it, and I plan to make a contribution very soon. And I have to say that I think Vic Treadwell is amazing, the contributions that he's made. So, Vic, I'm hearing you apologize, and I want to say, go easy on yourself. It's okay. But here's the thing that I want to bring up. I think I heard the first maybe 30 seconds or minutes of the show in question, and if it's what I'm thinking, I censored it myself by turning the radio off very fast. So I think that given that I did not hear the whole show, it would be interesting to tell the listeners who didn't hear the show what it was. And I remember it seemed to me it was a bunch of violent, unpleasant electronic noise, and then later I heard Vic during another show kind of explain more of what had happened. So I'm wondering, what was the goal of the show, and how this has nothing to do with FCC guidelines or swear words or anything like that. It's more of what do I expect when I am listening to WBFY, and what's the context, and how does that show fit in? It seemed like maybe it was a form of performance art. So that's my question. I have to say that when I heard Vic say that he pulled the show, I was like, yes, good, because I didn't feel it was appropriate, and it didn't have anything to do with FCC guidelines for me, which I'm not even that aware of.
Okay, let me address that for you, Rita. Grant Corum does a show called Lost Discoveries, and he has been looking at the fringes of the music business for 20 years, and he's been collecting all sorts of electronica and all sorts of off-the-map performers and performances. And this particular one was a collection by, I don't have the artist name in front of me, I think the last name was Forges, who had been working since the very early days of electronics with analog circuits driven by other analog circuits and patch panels. So he had been making electronic music from the very early days of electronic music and has produced bunches of albums, many of which Grant, I think, as a record producer, has, well, he certainly has access to them. And so he put his show together from that. So it really was a bunch of experimental electronic music, which to a lot of people is going to sound like noise, but I was listening to it, and it reminded me of Hearts of Space and some of the things that I heard in the early days of FM when it was just beginning to get progressive. 100 years ago, what was it, back in the 70s and the early 80s. So that's what it was. That's what you were hearing. And in fact, about 3 minutes into the show, Grant came on and said this is, he cautioned the listeners that if this is not your cup of tea, clear the dining room table, you could barf on it.
Not exactly that, but yes. And this is, that was the 20th edition of that show. It's always been experimental music. This was the most extreme, and but once Grant was granted the airtime and the space, however extreme, as long as he stayed within the FCC rules, he should, you know, it should have been allowed to run. We at first that show actually ran at dinner time, and we got a number of objections to people who just found it too much. So we moved it to 8 o'clock and the replay to 10 o'clock on Sunday nights. And I actually stuck up for that on free expression grounds, and because I liked the show, frankly. I mean, that one that we just had on Wednesday was far and away the most challenging, and he couched it in challenging terms. He said it wasn't for the faint of heart and that he was going to take us through a trip to hell, and if you could survive hell, you could survive anywhere, and so on and so on.
True.
And so on. But still, it was not my place to pull it on those grounds. I did have legit grounds to pull it for the violations of FCC rules, but I didn't do that on time. Instead, I let myself get into a... I let my brain get melted down. anyway. People did actually call in and say that they thought the station was shorting out or malfunctioning. And, you know, as somebody who spends their days and years trying to keep the station from shorting out and malfunctioning, that pushed a button. I admit it.
That answer your question, Rita?
Got more?
That does. And then I think you refer to what it was that you objected to in the end, and FCC or not, I think I'm probably in agreement with you that there was a violence to it, and certain words are just words, but certain words evoke a sense of violence. So, yeah, thank you, though. And thank you so much for the station. I think it's just a gem and a treasure. And it brings so much enrichment. And it is. It's something while I'm doing my art to have that, the variety of music. It's just wonderful. So thank you.
Great. And we look forward to your show premiering in...
I have an idea.
Well, there you go. We're always looking for volunteers. And one of the problems here is that I'm basically the only one managing this thing, and I sometimes get stressed out. And I'm hoping that one of the things this incident will do is get some more people interested in coming in and helping to manage and organize behind the scenes, not just play music on the air, but there's a lot else that goes into making a radio station happen.
Yeah. Well, it's growing. I think the station's growing. So thank you so much.
Yep, thank you.
Thanks for your call, Rita.
Clear the air for the next caller.
Yeah.
You're on the air.
Hi, how's it going?
Well, no, thank you.
Great.
Identify yourself again.
Excuse me?
Identify yourself again.
I'm sorry, there's a little bit of noise there in the background.
There you go.
You are James Quigley calling from?
We're calling from Appleton, Maine.
Very good. Thank you.
Yeah. Hi. Hi. I'm a good friend of Grant's, and I was part of the charge to sort of defend him from what seemed to be an overreaching censoring. First off, Kyle, can you turn it down? I appreciate that you all owned up, or that people have owned up to this. I think that shows a tremendous amount of bravery on the part of the station, and I think it's great. I want to just say one thing. There seems to be, at least in the last caller's call, she was talking about violence, and she was kind of inferring, you know, that something was inherently intentional on Grant's part, as if he was intending to harm people. And I just want to say, from my own observations on it, I can understand if someone might have taken something like that away. However, I really think it's important that it's clarified, and you did a good job. But I want to clarify it further. He didn't intend anybody any harm. And I can say that from knowing this individual personally. This is a person that is incredibly invested in what he's doing. He puts an amazing amount of effort into what he's doing. He's championing people who otherwise would not be heard. And frankly, it's a really good thing for people who live in a small area to have access to sounds and information that they might not otherwise ever hear. And if I was a young person and I grew up in this area, I grew up in Rhode Island, and we had locally a local radio station where I got to hear unique and strange stuff. And if I hadn't had those sort of things, I feel like my life would have turned out a lot different. And there needs to be room, especially during the COVID times, for space on the airwaves for people, because we are limited right now to gather and all these sorts of things. And to me, something like what Grant is doing is even more important in the current age than it would have been otherwise. And I believe that's partly why there was such a strong reaction on Grant's part when it came to his defense from many people. And that's just pretty much all I wanted to say.
Sure. And
yeah.
And I agree. I don't know Grant all that well personally, but I have liked him very much, and I agree that he works very hard and very skillfully to prepare his program. And I also agree that it's important to hear all kinds of things on the air. I think it might be important because it was, this particular one was so challenging, it even, well, was...
Yeah. Sure.
We could be doing disclaimers before every
sure.
song or be...
Yeah, but may I add?
Sure.
I just sorry to interrupt you, but just because I have short time on the for this, I just want to say though, this person that called before, and I don't mean to beat on her over this, but she was speaking about context, and honestly, Grant has a whole catalog of shows that he's done so far, and if you were to listen to them, it's not all just harsh noise. It's not some constant violent. Regurgitations of noise. It's
sure.
he's all over the map. And a person who doesn't do the diligence to look into, you know, the full spectrum of somebody's catalog doesn't understand the context fully enough. And it's actually up to them to do that. And I think, you know, I do understand that, you know, it doesn't happen, you know. So
right.
it's
well,
I mean, and that's
I've
just the way it is.
I've listened to every one of the shows since I'm the, you know, it's part of my job, and mm-hmm. I enjoy them very much. This one was by far the most extreme, and I, indeed, he does not. It's not all things shorting out and so forth, but the previous caller expressed what other people expressed to me at the time, was that to them, they read it, they heard it as violence to a certain degree, and frankly, so did I. And it was one of the things that pushed my buttons.
Okay, so there's no real accounting for taste here.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
I kind of agree with James. It would be terrific if we've got a place where young people can hear far-out stuff. I tune around the FM dial, and boy, there's a whole lot of stuff out there that I will just tune right past that station. I can't listen to some of these things that they call R&B. That's not what R&B used to be when I was R&B-ing.
Yeah.
And I'm wondering, since the FCC lets us get away with all sorts of stuff after 10 o'clock, and young people tend to be up until 3 and 4 in the morning pretty routinely, is there a time slot there, James?
See, to tell you the truth, in all honesty, I believe there, in a way, there you're right onto it. I mean, when you have multiple places where I just heard the radio, like in different places, you see people have a heavy metal hour at 11 o'clock at night or at midnight or something strange or something where they'll play old serials from or whatever.
Listening hour.
Yeah, and you can take advantage of that because that's the range. And the thing is about Belfast is it's a very unique community, and you know that kind of thing. I could really see something like a Belfast community radio after dark kind of thing.
Right.
Quite honestly.
Yeah, and
why not? You know, I think people would appreciate that. I think that would be a plus.
That's very good. And so one of my many mistakes was trying to keep Grant's show in prime time when it probably should have. I probably should have insisted on it moving to later in the schedule.
But if 19 out of 20 shows are perfectly fine,
they were challenging, but not quite so.
Yeah. Okay. So.
Yeah.
Well, I'll let you guys get back to some other callers, but thanks again for looking into it yourselves and for people changing their minds and if they hadn't originally had the same idea, and I think it's this is a really great lesson for a lot of people involved, and I appreciate what you're doing.
Thank you
very much.
Thanks for calling in, James.
Of course. Yeah. Take care. Bye.
Your button. Hello. Pushed.
Hello.
Yes. Can you hear us?
Yes, I can. Can you hear me?
Yep, please go ahead.
My name is Suzanne from Belfast. I'm actually Grant's partner and friend. And I know personally the hard work that he puts into every show. He is an archivist. He is an artist. And so he is trying, like James was saying, he's trying to promote artists on the fringes. I also just want to say thank you so much to the station for Vic for apologizing and for having this forum to discuss this. But one thing I wanted to say is kind of responding. I've been thinking about the question that even was formed by the caller 2 moments before, saying how does this show fit in? And I think that's a really good question because this is community radio, and our community is filled with many different types of people who have many different styles and many different interests. And so I think it does fit in because Grant is a member of this community and is putting forth sounds that maybe are strange to some. So I think the idea of censorship when it comes to personal opinion about the style of music is kind of what we're talking about, where we wouldn't stop someone's show just because I don't like the style of music. So I think that was a really good point that she asked that.
Sure. And I agree and have said several times that it was not my right to do so. There was a separate issue having to do with FCC rule violations and so on.
Yeah.
But
I just wanted to bring up that point because she had brought that up as how does this even fit in? Because community radio station doesn't mean every member of the community is going to like every show that's being played.
Of course not.
And sometimes I'll turn on WBFY and I'm really into it and I just keep it on and I'm really jazzed on it. And other times, just like every station, it's just not my favorite style of music, and so I'll turn the dial.
Sure.
And so the idea of calling a station and saying, I don't like this music, this show should not be on, it doesn't ring true to community radio for me.
Well, yes, but on the other hand, I think the previous caller had a good point, is that things that are going to be especially challenging should probably not be in prime time.
Yeah, that's a great idea.
And that's, you know, that was part, that was a preliminary, anyway.
Yeah, you know, one of the ways that I view community radio is that it's a public forum to the extent that we would love to have people who want to make a consistent show or make a consistent contribution or who even want to make a single show about a particular issue that we'd like to be available for that. Now, we've got certain guidelines that we don't want to get into religion. We don't want to get into politics. They're the kind of thing where you, in England, if you would get on a soapbox in Hyde Park to advertise your position, or if you're looking for a public soapbox, we don't want to be that exactly. But if you've got a musical taste that is unique and you've got the library and you've got the skills to put a show together, that's what we're interested in for volunteers.
And even if you don't have the skills, we'll teach you.
That sounds great. Yeah. And I think the sounds that were heard that evening, I was listening to the show. I was one of the people calling upset that it stopped.
Yep.
And
I was probably rude to you, too, when you called, frankly. I was red-eyed mad and shouldn't have been.
We all make mistakes. I do daily.
Yeah.
I just think that, for me, I knew the context of the music, and I know the artist who performed these pieces, and I knew that he was trying to take the idea of organic sound to form an electronic sound.
Mm-hmm.
Or organic item.
Yeah.
So to me, it wasn't violent. It was the sound of machines and the sound of different kinds of electronic sound.
Yeah.
And so I think that's also, we need to see how sometimes things are opinions and not fact.
Oh, agreed.
Very much.
But the on the other hand, the person who was driving back from Augusta and came over the hill and tuned in WBFY and thought they were hearing a malfunction,
right.
You know, that's also a real...
But a
right.
couple of minutes of
that's
listening?
That's a real concern.
If they had listened a couple more minutes, he would have segued into something that was smooth and beautiful. His segues were just so awesome. It's like one seamless piece of music, and it was amazing to me when he gives his credits and he's talking about the songs you've heard. Excuse me, I just heard one continuous thing that seemed to blend really beautifully.
Oh, yeah, right. No, it's technically very, very well done. And, yes, I agree, he works hard on it and works skillfully on it.
Yeah.
And so... but I think we're going to have to find, we have 20 of them in the can, and we'll probably just continue to replay them. If he wants to come back on later with some more, great.
Buying him dinner at Young's Lobster Pound would get him back on the air, I'd be happy to donate that. So.
That's Charlie's donation, but I think it should definitely be a, I think for the sake of everybody's peace of mind and the general, that we're going to just need to move the schedule of it to after 10 o'clock. And also, if new shows do come in, they need to come in sometime.
As your president, I'm going to have to object to making that a statement until we have, A, formed a program committee, and B, had a meeting of the program committee,
we
and C, put the proposal before the program committee,
yeah.
and had a vote. Okay.
Yeah, but for in practical terms, I'd like to see more of this program, but I think it's going to need to be, as the previous person was suggesting, what was it, the challenge, late evening.
Okay. Anyway, thanks for calling.
Well, thank you so much for having us forum.
Yeah.
Thanks, Suzanne.
And there's why I couldn't hear the microphone before, because when that's on and that's off, now we know.
All right.
So we're back, and we're getting more calls.
All right. Thank goodness.
Well,
WBFY, who's this?
Well, Charlie gets everybody lined
Idaho
up.
Idaho Joe. Well, all right.
He's calling in here.
Calling in from?
Push the button.
So you're listening on the stream, and I hope you're just going to be able to hear it on the phone, and don't listen to the stream. It'll scramble your brains. Okay. Here, you're on the air.
Welcome, Idaho Joe from California.
Hi, how you doing?
Good.
Oh, good. Yeah, I'm calling because I was on that show, I don't know, maybe a month or two back. Mm-hmm. It's a great show.
Yep.
And it's really amazing how Grant, he's very selfless in the fact that he tries to, bring in people from just outside of musicians, people that wouldn't be exposed otherwise. And
yep.
I'm sure you can appreciate that. That's what public radio is all about,
Right.
And I'm sure you can appreciate that.
I can. I've been one of those show's fans right straight along. And
yeah,
worked hard to try and get it on the air.
Oh, I'm sorry you interrupted me. He's very selfless in what he does, and it's not about him,
Mm-hmm.
And when you abused him in that way, live on air, cutting him off, calling his friend's music, who he's trying to showcase, you call it nonsense masquerading as art. That's not only just disrespectful to him, but to anyone who makes, strange music or does their own thing. And, I've been talking to him about it, and he's been having a really hard time, I'm really worried about him. And I told him, like, man, just get away from that place. It's too negative. It's not good for you, man, because he was really struggling. And I was really worried about him. And what you did to him, that should be the focal point, because you're talking about FCC stuff. I heard that when the album titles had a swear word in it, that's not illegal. Albums can have swear words in a title. That's not illegal. So that's an FCC issue. And he got pre-approved by you too, right? Didn't he ask for permission to use that album title? Is that true?
It is actually illegal. He could not use those words.
But you approved it, right?
You can use it after 10.
I did not have the power to do that.
Approved it beforehand, right?
No, I didn't. He didn't give me a chance. He didn't give me a chance to even listen to it.
You pre-approved. He asked you what was going to be going on.
He told
and
you
that
there were some swear words in there, and you said
in the title.
Don't sweat it. We'll
in the title.
Yeah,
in the titles of
in
album.
In the title, it's okay.
And if
but here's the real issue. This show. It's not about censorship. This is about a station trying to cover themselves because they messed up big time.
I did mess up big time.
You attack someone on air, and this is you trying to blame him. And explain why, you guys, you're just trying to do the right thing. What's censorship? What's this? What's that? You're deflecting from the real issue here. You attacked Grant on air and cut him off and insulted his artist.
Yes, I did.
So you shouldn't be there anymore. We need to bring in fresh blood. We need to bring in a station manager who's sensitive. I mean, is this your first time attacking someone? Is this your first time berating DJs? I mean, are you an atheist playing God? Is that what's going on here?
No.
So you're not that atheist playing God? You're not attacking DJ? How many other DJs have you been aggressive towards down there?
I don't think of any.
You don't look at yourself in the mirror and say, oh, maybe this is abusive behavior? Do you ever ask yourself that?
It was abusive behavior. I became angry and unprofessional and said abusive things, and I have apologized several times for
it. But that was your first time, though, right? Is that your first time ever abusing someone?
Actually, Idaho Joe, we have not had this issue before.
Yeah.
So you're covering it up?
No.
No, we're trying to face it head on.
It sounds like you're deflecting from the real issue here.
There were two different issues.
The issue is you.
There were two different issues.
You're the issue. If you weren't there, berating and abusing DJs,
absolutely.
It wouldn't be an issue.
If he had not cut in and let the show play to the end, it would have been fine. We could have... we had a little bit of risk with the FCC, but the risk is not huge. So
Yeah, not a huge risk. So, right. so then why is this show about censorship then? This show should be about abuse. That's what's going on here. Right?
No, that's another subject.
So this, this isn't about abuse. This isn't about abuse and Grant. It's about censorship then.
No, the way I wanted to catch it, I called this meeting, I called this show to talk about artistic expression and talk about the limits. And
cover yourself. And it's not about you abusing Grant. It's not about you apologizing. It's about Grant maybe flirting with the FCC problems, right?
So how can we draw this to a conclusion? I hear your point of view that Vic is an abusive person and should be taken off the air. And
I say we bring in some fresh blood, bring in some new station managers that are younger, more understanding of what's going on, get that station going. Because right now it's like listening to Fox News, right? Listening to Fox News. There's something wrong with our radio.
That's a low blow.
Yeah, it sounds like it right now because you're just deflecting and blaming the victim. You're blaming the victim. Yeah. All right. Well, thank you. I appreciate Grant's show. And this deflection from your abuse is pretty entertaining. Thank you.
Okay, Joe. Thanks a lot. Thanks for calling.
Well, we're pretty close to the top of the hour, and we wanted to play that song by The Clash.
Well, I'll tell you, why don't we play that and a station identification? But if we get more calls, we can continue on into the next hour. We've got a 3-hour spot here from the city, because the city council isn't meeting and broadcasting as they usually do on Tuesdays. But you want to hear the song from The Clash? You got it.
This is a public service announcement. Let's go.
You're tuned to Belfast Community Radio. That's WBFYLP, broadcasting at 100.9 FM in Belfast, Maine, and streaming on the internet at wbfy.me.
Automation off. We're ready to go. We've got, this is WBFYLP, and we're continuing our show. We've got Suzanne from Iowa calling in. Are you there, Suzanne?
I am. Thanks for taking my call.
Thanks for calling. What you got to say?
I'm actually Grant's sister, and we stream the show every week and tune in as a family and listen. And as you know, as family can be either supportive or sometimes they can be not supportive of people's crafts. I'm actually really proud of what Grant has done with music. I remember back to a long history of, we grew up in a small town, and so, you know, talking about community radio and what you guys have going on is so important. And I think back about the times that we grew up in a small community and how often it was hard to have access to more experimental and expressive and unusual music, and how influential it was in these communities that constantly remind you of, you know, your different taste, and that you're not conforming or belonging, and just how important it is to have that sort of access as a kid, as a child, or anybody who wants to hear something that isn't kind of like the mainstream type of music. And it, you know, I think a lot about back to even like MTV 120 minutes, you know, without that sort of access to unusual experimental music. I know that was a very influential platform for my husband, you know, to be a musician without having access and being like those young brains where they get to hear that unusual music, that the type of stuff that Grant plays on your radio station. You know, when you're so used to hearing the pop music or the stuff that commonly plays on the radio, and then all of a sudden you discover this, and yeah, maybe it's not everybody's cup of tea, but it's discovering that is so transformative for people who never get to experience that sort of music. And so, you know, I thank you for giving that sort of music a platform through your community radio. But kind of talking about what that gal, I think she was four calls back, kind of explaining it as violence. And I don't think that's on accident. You know, we're in a time where we have Black Lives Matter and this pandemic and skyrocketing unemployment. People are uneasy, and it's important that we're expressive and expressing. And it's an uneasy time, and some of that music's going to be expressive through an uneasy time. And coming from a long history with Grant, one of the most compassionate, kind people, always seeking out to have some sort of platform for artists that don't get covered often and have that opportunity. And I think it's important to kind of come back to what Joe had said, what he had mentioned, of what are we actually centering this conversation on? Is it censorship or is it abuse and what was said? And I think there is just so much conversation around abuse. You know, I give a lot of credit to things like the Me Too movement, where there's these big conversations of really, it's important, you know, we deflect these big issues and how it often moves away from the conversation of the abuser. And it is so important to be talking about that right now, and why it's important to maintain and keep someone on that has a history of this. You know, they can still have done wonderful things in their time with the radio and whatever they've brought, but it doesn't excuse behavior that's come up before. And it's important that as a community radio, that you guys make sure that you're keeping a safe, comfortable space for this type of artistry to come out. And there's just a huge pool of people who are eager and talented who could definitely step in and be able to manage and address these situations in a different way and give this community some new life.
Very well said, Suzanne. I appreciate everything you're saying there. How old were you when you were listening to MTV? And
how old were we?
Yeah.
Man, I remember starting to watch that when I was in early grade school. I'm 36 now. So it's been a long time of watching MTV and also making experimental tapes with Grant and all his friends.
Okay, so MTV was on cable, right? And I don't think they were regulated by the FCC. And shows like Beavis and Butthead, was that MTV?
I believe so.
That really lowered the national, the level of discourse, shall we say. Now, freedom of expression. The FCC, as I said earlier in the show, feels like it's their obligation to protect children from things that they shouldn't hear. And the FCC has all sorts of ideas about what that is. And that's why they say, let's keep the airwaves clean from 6 a.m. to 10 p.m. when kids might be listening. And we can do, the gloves are off after 10 p.m. And maybe that's where we need to go for this sort of thing. But the caller who felt like the music was doing her violence, that's, if it's just a matter of timing, if it's just a matter of a disclaimer at the beginning of the show that if this is not your cup of tea, tune out. I think that's where we should be going. I really would like the freedom of expression here. And I'm sorry that Vic lost his temper and he's been reprimanded and we're want to work on that. He's under a lot of pressure. Ask a lot of him, and he gives us a lot of hours in the course of a week. And so there really is no excuse for him cutting in like that. If he had just taken a few deep breaths and let the show go to its end, we would not be having this conversation tonight.
I appreciate that. It does feel like we're kind of deflecting and bringing it back to kind of apologetic behavior for Vic. But I like the idea of what you're saying, of bringing it after hours for it to be still accessible to people. It's just hugely important to have this sort of platform. Otherwise, before we know it, it's all going to be, you know, the same kind of music, and that's not by accident. It's
absolutely.
When we hear the same sort of thing, we start to replicate the same sort of thing, and it's really important. But I also think it's really, we have to be really careful when we talk about violence, and I'm not trying to gaslight or discredit this woman expressing that it felt violent to her, but when we're in a time of Black Lives Matter and all these big things that are truly violence, I think we have to be very careful about what we're referring to as violence. And as we listen to Suzanne Stone, hearing the history of the artist that was being played, there's a beautiful reason behind it. And so I just think it's really, we need to be careful about what we're giving power to when we use the word violence, and that this is actually rooted in some beautiful things that Grant was doing.
Yeah, thank you. We make an effort here to catch it when we find it. Earlier we referred to Ratchet. We've got an automation system that when we don't have a human doing programming, Ratchet reaches into a grab bag of about 100,000 songs and puts together the shows with some general guidelines about the classical shows. Don't get the Clash in the middle of them.
that sort of thing. And we heard one today that Ratchet came up with that we hadn't heard before that was totally misogynistic. It was totally disgusting. And as soon as it was done, it was deleted from the library. We caught that and straightened it out. So we may not get it perfect, and we're trying to do better.
Okay. Well, I think it's a good start is kind of looking at who's managing and how they're coming across when they are in tough situations. And
agreed.
Yeah, I hope that you guys can continue to give life and access to music that normally doesn't get heard. So thank you for holding this forum and letting people kind of express their thoughts on it as well today.
Totally agree. Thank you so much for calling, Suzanne, and enjoy Iowa.
You.
What's your temperature out there?
It's actually a very beautiful day today. It's usually pretty humid, but we have a beautiful day here in Iowa.
We had an 85 degree, 95% humidity day that I think my little weather app says feels like 96.
Yeah, it's that time of year. I do miss that coastal breeze, though. It's a beautiful part. We look forward to being able to visit Maine again one of these days, but in safer times, hopefully.
All right. Thank you, Suzanne.
Stay safe. Thank you.
Have a good
Bye-bye.
Night.
And we're back. Charlie Crane here, chairman of the board, president of WBFY, and you know, we can just, what else did I have to play here? Oh, I can't even find my mouse on this thing. So I think I'm going to, if there are no further calls, I'm going to put the automation back on, and we're just going to let Ratchet do his thing here. You've been listening to a custom call-in show necessitated by an incident of censorship that happened last Wednesday, and here we go again. I think I will...
Hi, I think I'll just take a chance and take this caller right on the air.
Oh, all right. Excellent.
What's your name?
My name's Dave. My name's Dave. I'm from Southern Illinois, just a listener. And I've been listening to the program tonight, and I was really taken with what the last caller said. And first, I just want to go ahead and introduce myself just briefly. I was a station manager of a community radio station for 5 years. So I do have an awareness of the difficulty of Vic's job when he talked about all the things that he was doing and the stress that he was under and the feeling of, in some ways, being alone in doing that job. That is very familiar to me.
That is
a very difficult position to be in. And it is difficult to engage volunteers, as you mentioned, in a way outside of a show. But I will tell you that is critical to the success of your station.
Tell me more about
that. What's that?
Tell me more about that. What do you mean by engage volunteers outside the show?
Well, outside of their show, meaning like in capacities that are not just on air. And if you explore how other community radio stations are, you know, operating, eventually you will run into some that have a component where, you know, on-air DJs are also required to do, you know, X off-air, you know, cataloging or, you know, just any number of things. And you can let your mind run free on that. But I will say that's something that I discovered was really crucial. I also want to introduce myself as...
Go ahead, Dick. Excuse me a second. Did you assign those jobs or ask for volunteers? Because we keep saying there's these jobs that you can do, and we even have in the programmer's agreement you agree to put in 3 hours a month on those sorts of jobs, and nobody volunteers.
Right. You know, part of it is just setting the expectation right from the get-go. You know, you will find at stations like, say, KDHX or WFMU, both stations that I look to for inspiration, that, you know, prior to even achieving an on-air position, volunteers needed to work in a non-air capacity at the station. And that is difficult. It is difficult because primarily people's interest is on air, but you can use that as a carrot. But I don't want to talk about that all night. I will, if you'd like, another time, you know, share my thoughts with you. You know, that would be great. But I want to also introduce myself as a producer and as a host of experimental and avant-garde music. I had done that up until just a few years ago, just maybe 3 years ago. And that was a major facet of my life for more than 25 years. Across numerous stations, public radio stations like NPR type stations and community radio stations, international stations. And I understand also, from the host's perspective, what's happening here. And when I hear the previous caller describing how this show, is so meaningful in the sense of like musical discovery and in the sense of hearing, sort of like concrete evidence that the weird sounds that you're interested in are okay, and that, like, you know, that there's somebody else doing this. I really can't stress enough how powerful that is, and how amazing that is. And I think that if you begin to speak with people that are, you know, let's just say loosely in the experimental music community, which is a very, you know, it's an open weave, so to speak. There's not a lot of us in any one given place. But we all have these tremendous experiences of the first time we heard this stuff. And that can be on your station. And in fact, I guarantee it is happening when he broadcasts. I guarantee that those listeners are out there having these tremendous formative experiences with this new music, with these challenging sounds. There are people that whom this hits and it just, you know, it doesn't take. And then there are other people, this is a lifelong seed. This is something that just grows and grows and grows. And these sorts of shows cannot be underestimated, because unlike what a lot of DJs are doing, where they are presenting others' art, the experimental shows often themselves are art as well. The how the music is selected, why it is selected, the jarring transitions, the layering, the choice of, you know, colliding one thing into another in an absurdist fashion. This is meaningful. And there is a long, long history of this sort of work. And when I heard that caller that everybody's referring to now, the lady that was in the early part of the show describing it as violence, I just, you know, I just made a sour face, I have to admit. That is like someone encountering, you know, jazz for the first time or something.
Yeah.
She just did not have the history. She didn't have the background. And that is, it's unfortunate that she didn't stick with it a little bit. And, you know, if maybe that wasn't her night, maybe that was a night that she's tired or whatever, and the radio is not for her, whatever, that's fine, okay? But to then furthermore say, hey, you know what? I encountered that for, you know, 10 seconds, and I found it violent, and I want to call in later. That is, you know, it's appreciating art on the level of like an Oreo. It's like, if it wasn't immediately satisfying, then I'm just done, and we should shut it down, and we should consign it to the late night.
Right on.
You know, I also do hear, by the way, a proposal sort of, it seems to be working in everyone's head right now, about sort of shoving this show into the later scheme, into this, what the FCC deems the safe harbor period. I do want to remind you that the safe harbor period never extends to obscenity, and although I don't believe this show had any obscenity, it seems to me that, like, everyone has an idea that after 10, anything goes, and it does not.
Yeah.
The FCC guards against, I believe it's a, profanity, or no, the profane, the indecent, and the obscene, if I remember correctly.
Exactly.
And, you know, these are not well-defined concepts. You know, the idea of the seven dirty words or whatever, that is actually, you know, starts out as a comedy routine. And the only reason why we are quite certain of these words isn't because the FCC maintains a list, it's because the FCC actually created legal action about that comedy routine being broadcast, so we can reasonably assume that if there was a list, which there is not, that those words would be on it. those are like the only concrete examples we have. But in fact, it comes down to community standards and these very, very vague things. And in truth, that is part of your power there as a community radio station, is the fact that, like, it comes down to community standards and appreciations and things like this. And I think that the way that you can have shows like this is by engaging community more fully in them instead of sticking them in the dark where no one has a chance to, like, understand them or appreciate it, and where it's something that they just encounter on the random. That what if it was out in the open, and what if it was more part of your community, and that people could appreciate it as art and people had the opportunity to do so? You know, there's a lot of things going on here, and I think it's very The reaction to this is sometimes, let's shut it down, you know, but really, you know, the opposite is more true. Let this blossom. I wanted to share with you a quick experience, and then I'll let you go, because I'm thrilled that you guys are getting so many good calls about this.
Yeah,
But during the time that I broadcast, okay, which was a long time, you know, I picked up some listeners, you know, along the way, younger people, right? And, you know, occasionally I would hear from them late at night, and they'd be, I don't know, partying, or they'd be listening intently, or they'd be, you know, having a drug experience, or they'd be whatever, camping, or who knows. But, you know, over the years, I was hearing from some of these listeners again and again and again. And I realized over time, I began to realize, oh, like, I have a hand, like, you know, in their growth, like, as people and as artists and as, you know, listeners, right? And like, I started to realize as a host, like, I actually have some responsibility here. And it transitioned for me, you know, from like, hey, I'm presenting things I'm excited about, to very much like a community aspect, where I realized there was some power here, and there was something good that I was doing. And I am very proud to say that, like, you know, I'm still in touch with a lot of those people, and I have gotten to see the good that it did in their lives. I see them releasing albums. I see them, you know, performing in New York with other improvisers. I see them part of, like, a larger community that I generally did not have the opportunity to be a part of as a young person. There was no, you know, experimental radio station for me. You know, there was really, you know, no older person kind of handing this stuff down to me, you know, so I missed out on that experience. But they got it. You know, and what they were able to do with that was tremendous. And, you know, I was a small part of that, and I'm very proud of it to this day, very proud of those people. And I keep in touch, and I watch their careers. And, you know, your station can be a part of those sorts of stories, too. This music is extremely, extremely important to many people. You know, not as many as your Dead show, not as many as your folk show, not as many as your blues, or your jazz, or opera. But it is very important still. That's... And I hope that you guys can see to keeping that on air, to finding ways, you know, like you're doing right now, to wrap your heads around this and whatnot, and to move forward having this music and being proud of it. Because, you know, a host like you've got is a one in a million, you know, someone that can do this, and someone that's knowledgeable about it, and someone that cares to do it. So treasure that.
That is great input. Thank you so much for that, Dave. That's beautiful.
Yeah.
And
all right. Y'all take care.
Well, hang on a second. You were talking about the craft of putting this stuff together.
Yes.
And
yes.
I think that would be an interesting show to do, about how did you make the choice to put these two things back to back?
It could be. It could be. And I mean, that, you know, maybe that's something he wants to talk about, or maybe that's something that I, you know, I just don't know. But I know that that exists. I mean, you know, obviously there are skilled DJs, you know, of a lot of varieties. And I think a lot of times, you know, people hear that word and they think of like a club DJ or a hip hop DJ.
Right.
But, you know, the idea of collage is very similar to what, you know, a show like this is. It's this selection of things. It's this curatorship.
Yeah.
It is the assemblage of these articles, of these items. And they have a history, not only, you know, as discrete pieces, you know, situated in a greater musical whole, but they have a history that is a personal history to the host. And they have oftentimes a greater meaning and association than you know, almost anyone knows. But all of that comes through, you know. Why do you choose this? Why do you choose that? That stuff is fascinating. And in the great show, those things start to, like, seep through. And I just really caution those listeners who are like, what is this? It just sounds like garbage. You know, like, try to understand. There are artists on the other end of this who are just as, you know,
committed,
invested,
to what they're creating,
involved, and thoughtful about the choices that they make.
Yeah.
And also, you know, art does not necessarily have to be beautiful. Many things in life are not beautiful, and we should comment on those too. And we can be a part of that too. And that unbeauty, or that violence that is a part of our life, unfortunately, you know, to express that, there, I don't think that there's anything wrong with expressing that in an artistic way. You know, I mean, obviously I'm not championing violence itself, but to have violence as a theme, you know, absolutely. I mean, look at you know, Guernica, for instance. I mean,
yeah,
you
okay.
know, is anyone looking at that and thinking, oh boy, I want to go there, you know? No, absolutely not. Or think about, you know, fantastic, like, I don't know, photography that documents, you know, life on the street, for instance, or the horrors of war. I mean, these are things that you might say to yourself, rightfully, this is obscene, you know, but, like, does it have a purpose? Yes, it absolutely does. And it's that purpose that we have to judge it by, you know, it's that purpose.
Yeah.
I don't know. I just wanted to leave you with the idea that there is more to this. And it is not just that surface level appreciation.
Thank you so much. I guarantee you
a great bit of thought that's gone into that.
Thank you.
Y'all take care.
So
have a great
much.
Night.
Thanks, Dave.
All right. Bye.
It's sad that there are so few hours in the day, because we've got folks who feel the same way about poetry. We have DJs who feel the same way about their classical music. And, oh boy. It's great to be part of community radio. And here's another call. And we'll, let's see, turn that on, push that.
Hi, this is WBFY. You're going right on the air. What's your name? Where are you from?
Hi. My name's Alex. I'm local to Belfast.
Hi, Alex.
Hi. I hear a lot of calls from that people listen on the stream in support of grants, and I just wanted to say that I enjoy his show quite a bit, and I mean, you know, some of the other episodes are less challenging than what was broadcast last week. But I think he does. If he's out there listening, you do a terrific job in, you know, curating and guiding the listener through the work, and I never miss a show. I love it. And I just welcome other people locally who are tuning in to embrace the fringes. And I mean, you know, I got the violence that's been talked about. It was, I mean, he explained it clearly.
He did.
You know, in terms of you're listening to it was like an all analog circuit. There was no digital memory or anything. It was just surging through. And, you know, I can listen to that and appreciate it. And I really enjoy hearing, being exposed to that kind of thing. So, I do think it was a mistake on Vic's part to pull it. But I also know Vic works insanely hard at the station. I've known him just a little bit, but it's very clear that he puts in a tremendous effort, and I understand he would get frustrated at times. And having apologized, I do think the FCC falling back on that as an explanation seems like a cop-out, I gotta say.
Yeah.
It was a mistake to step over his show.
Yep.
And I was listening live that night, and I had a mixed reaction, because I've known Vic for a little bit, and just imagine what it was going through his head.
Listening to the replay, it was appalling.
Yeah. But if Grant's out there, I love the show. I hope you'll stick around. And if I get involved in the station more, I'll be pushing boundaries as well. So I'm right behind you.
And we'll have you cataloging and doing things like that as well. You'll get
yeah,
those
absolutely.
3 hours
yep.
a month. Okay. Excellent.
Cool.
Thank you, Alex.
Yep. Take care. Bye.
Bye.
And we're WBFY LP 100.9 Belfast, Maine. Been doing a little show here on, well, you know, it's about our program content and the wide variety of stuff that we get to play here at WBFY. And here's another caller.
Hi, you're on the air with WBFY.
Hi.
What's your name? Where are you calling from?
My name is Meg, and I'm calling from Belfast.
And the dog in the background?
The dog is Astrid. I left her inside.
Hi, Megan and Astrid. What do you think?
Hi. So, yeah, my name is Meg. I live here in Belfast. I also have the great fortune of being an arts programmer in our area. I book music as well as being a visual curator as well. And one of the things that I have loved about being based in Belfast is that I have gotten to do everything from booking classical music to some of the music that is more on the fringes, as we're talking about tonight. And what I want to just like throw out there is when I do know Grant, and I'm very familiar with his show. I also will say right off that Grant is one of my go-to DJs to book at large events, including, you know, national film festivals and other events as well. And I truly appreciate the work that he puts into his craft and all that. But what I wanted to speak to the Belfast community here too, and just say that being here in Belfast and being able to do the work that I do, what I've always found is that Belfast is incredibly welcoming and so incredibly supportive of all different scopes of art. And that includes music as well. And I've actually even used that as an example in national presentations and things of that sort. And so I do very much appreciate this forum that's happening tonight. And I just wanted to call in to also applaud that as well. And thank you guys for having this conversation and to make space for this and to figure out how to move forward. Because what I know from my experience of, you know, not only booking arts events and music events around the country, but also here in Waldo County, is that Waldo County is special in its ability to move between genres and to make space for artists of all kinds. And
thanks for
so
that.
I just I wanted to applaud you all for that, and definitely, you know, for the apologies and for the work that you've been doing very diligently over the last few days, and also very much wanted to throw in my support for Grant, and I know that this has been hard on him as well, and just also state how much I appreciate the work that he does with his show and with booking his music venue and also with his label and all of that. And yeah, just wanted to give everyone, you know, a encouraging word forward. And you know, I've also been a DJ on WBFY, and it you know, I so appreciate that that's in our community, and I just want to make sure that we continue to make space for everyone and figure out the best paths forward to make room for it all.
Thank you, Meg. You feel like being on the program committee? You don't have to have a show.
I would love to. I've had the great joy of being also part of WERU. I don't know if Matt Murphy is still listening, but you know, WERU at a certain point made space for some younger people on the board and things like that. And I'm not of the younger person variety anymore necessarily. I'm more approaching middle age, but I certainly understand what it takes to you know, that these sorts of things take a lot of volunteer time and a lot of people throwing in their hat and being supportive. And I absolutely, you know, would love to help in any way that I can, because I do think that this is so important. And I appreciate you all opening up this forum to look for more help and more voices and all of that.
By the power vested in me as the president of Belfast Community Radio, I gratefully accept your hat. and hope you hang on to it, and we can drag you right into the circle and put you to work just as soon as we call a meeting. Thank you, Meg. Thanks
well,
for your call.
Thank you all.
Have a great night.
Ah, that's terrific. I seem to recall Meg's name on some of the old programs around here. Don't remember what her program was like, but it's always great to have folks who express themselves for a while, and you know, you can't keep it up forever. The creative juices, you might find you got 20 shows in you. You might find you only got one, and don't apologize for it. If you've got an idea and you've got some music and you want to put it together, we can vet that idea. And now that we're going to have a little program committee to listen to things and figure out the schedule and when it's appropriate to put things on, we're going to do more of that. So we'll welcome new input, new blood, new ideas. And you'll be competing with all sorts of other things for those time slots. We don't seem to have too much trouble filling in the week. You're listening to Belfast Community Radio, and if I've actually got a whole minute here without a phone call, we're going to turn on the automation and bid you a good night. Thank you for all the calls. You'll hear more from us. We're WBFY LP 100.9 Belfast. This is Charlie Crane checking out for the night.